And about this morning is the difference between repentance and I'm sorry. Or is it two different things? We may treat it like the same thing. Some of us even perceive it as the same thing. And some of us, when we say I'm sorry, we don't even mean the same thing. Not according to the word. And so we'll look at it. And I want you to understand that in Luke chapter 3, the audience, some Jewish people, they absolutely understood the word repentance when it was said. They clearly knew it. They knew that it came with a price. It wasn't cheap. Repentance was repentance. And we're going to discuss what that means. In Luke chapter 3, we'll start in verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruit worthy of repentance. And begin now to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father, for he's saying to you that God is able to still raise children to Abraham. Now also, the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which beareth not fruit, is hewn down, or beareth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none, and he that has meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans, or tax collectors, to be good servants, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said to them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Go to Acts, the book of Acts. I'm talking about a subject like these, I like to use a few examples, a couple of examples just to bring it. In Acts chapter 9, we'll start in verse 1. And Saul, yet bringing up threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them back. And he journeyed. He came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou? And the Lord says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prince. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? Now we start. First of all, let me just set my timer. Started speaking. I used to study for hours and run under steam 5 minutes. And then we have a different break. And so, repentance, the Greek word, we all know, right? I mean, you heard it 1,000 times. It means 180 degrees, it means turning the other way, it means another direction. There's a huge difference between I'm sorry and I repent. The biggest difference here is that I'm sorry tells me how you feel. Remorseful when I said what I've done, what I acted, whatever it is. Repentance shows me that you want to make it right. I'll give you an example. Borrow Glenn's car, I just myself a brand new Lamborghini Clooney. Probably wouldn't borrow it, but it wouldn't fit there. It's a good Christian, so we didn't get the Diablo. And I say, take a responsibility, being the good man that he is. And so I take it down to 77. Give me a place you can drive a Lamborghini. And I bust it on. I crash it, just holds in pieces, and stuff is fine with us these days. And, I come back to Glenn to give him the bad news. Hey, Glenn, listen, man, I'm sorry. Really, I'm sorry. I wrecked your car here. He's whatever. Just look at the same. I'll see if, you know, thinking he has insurance, if you're right. And if I come to Glenn, instead, I'm sorry. If I come to Glenn next year, while he's waxing his new Lamborghini, and say, hey, man, can you let me get a relief? What does Glenn have to clear? Logic. What does he have the right to say? And it shouldn't surprise me. Forget it. That is not going to happen. Different scenario, same situation, but I come to him with a brand new Lamborghini. Comes up to say, listen, I reach your car, and I'm sorry, listen, I want to make it right. Here's the keys to a brand new Lamborghini. It's right there. Listen, my bad. Chances are, the next time I ends the ride, he tosses me the keys. Oh, clean it, boy. Why? What was the difference? The other one, I told him how I felt. And it was genuine, and I really felt it. The other one showed him that I wanted to make it right. Repentance is that way. You come as to Christ, you come to Jesus Christ as you are. I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask for the forgiveness of sins, I believe that he died for my sins, and lived again on the third day. The Bible says that if you believe that, no one will be turned away, you will be saved. The problem is that we have professors and possessors of the faith. We have those who have the profession to be saved. And there are those who will profess it, and yet they possess it. What would be the difference? Well, survival of the fittest isn't necessarily the only thing possible. Nobody wants to be afraid. So if I say this little prayer, and you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to be saved, and the gospel then forgives you, and you go to heaven. But then you go on to live like the devil. One thing is to say it, the other one is to do it. In other words, once I'm saved, something happens. I don't see sin the way I used to see it. I see it not the way God sees it. Listen, saved. Sin didn't just ruin me. I didn't stop doing the thing that I used to do, because that's the best. And I just stop. So when you get a stand up, there's no more. That's me. It's a mistake. For me, a lot of things are really immediate. I'm going to stay pretty immediately to the person. In my sleep, and they used the name of Jesus Christ to mean that was the worst. And when we used the name of God or Jesus in vain, and tears would come into the night. Why would they do such a thing? Repentance looks like that. True repentance wants to make it right. I didn't go to church because if I didn't go to church, I was going to hell. I went to church because there was a change in me, and I wanted to be with other brothers and sisters who felt like me about Jesus Christ. And if you knew me back then, going to church, what was repentance? I waited for Sunday to come on that first day of the week. For Bible studies, praying, all of that. Why? Because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and He changed my life. He gave me new desires. I have an amazing element in me of repentance. I can make things right with them. In the Old Testament, there was always a graph involved. You would say, well, literally, you didn't pay a price. I didn't because I couldn't. But the price was paid. Make no mistake about it. The salvation wasn't free as a thing. Somebody had to pay the bill. That's what religion is, right? Religion is saying you don't get to pay the bill if you want to. You can't. I can possibly pay the debt that I owe to God. I couldn't do it. If he wanted all my money to give it to him, if it made a difference. If he wanted all my money to give it to him, if it made a difference. But what he wanted was my sin. And in return, he gave me his righteousness. I wanted, in the worst possible way, to please him who saved me. And I did everything. I tried to do everything I could to make Jesus happy. I wanted to be with my brothers and sisters. I wanted to hear from his word. When I was taught as a young Christian that there are two forms of communication with God. We pray, and that's us talking to God, and then we read, and that is God talking to us. Simple. Is that basic teaching as men in the word of God discipled me? And so I prayed, and I realized it was nobody's business. Because I honestly believe, to this very day, it hasn't changed, that this is how you converse with God. I didn't want reading anything. I couldn't stop reading. Just couldn't do it. Love to pray. Especially when I knew that I didn't need some kind of liturgical language to do it. And I could just talk to him. Talk to you. Just talk to him. First of all, I couldn't talk to him. And he was listening. He was real. Is real. In my life. So what does that have to do with repentance? When I offend my life, I can say I'm sorry. That's a good thing. I can say I'm sorry. And if there's something on offense that you committed, sometimes tongue is cheap, right? I can tell you how I feel, but I have to make things right. Sometimes I like to gun it. Still, just got it. I just wanted to see what he got. And so I just floored it for a second. Her jacket and flung. I can say I'm sorry. But you know when Sheldon would look at you, you make things right, and they don't move you. It's not only to God. You see this in Matthew chapter 18 when it comes to another brother and another sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's a brother, sister, your sister, whatever it is. You offend someone. Your duty is to go between you and the person alone. Just say it straight. In Luke chapter 17, you see two instances of that. Number one is, I repent. If they repent, you forgive them. The verse that follows, if they say, I repent, you forgive them. Many people have come to me. Look, you see, it's not something that they do to make it right. They said, if they say, I repent, again, their audience is Jewish. When they said, repent, they knew exactly what it meant. It wasn't just an I'm sorry. You got to make it right. You know, you kill one of your enemies. You do it. You do it. You know, look at what John's saying in Luke chapter 3. Love the heart of those that put the faith in the message. He didn't go around and say, you better do this, and you better do that, and you have a whole lot of things to do, but you're going to be sorry. They understood that repentance has a cost. When we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that cost was paid in full at the cross at Calvary. But this morning, we were talking about it. It was quite the cost. I mean, there's not a human being that could have paid that for you. So God Himself had to come down in the form of in your sin. That brings us to the book of Romans. If you understand repentance, and you've got a good idea of what repentance is, the book of Romans comes alive in a very different way. It really does. The book of Romans, what's the theme of our agreement? I'm going to be on the day of the SAT meeting. You say, well, that's the theme of the whole book. It's true. But some say the book of Romans is a gospel. To an evangelist, you can't run away from it. I mean, the Roman road, you can't hear about it that way. It's just full of salvation, evangelism, gospel. So the Bible teaching, or even this one, God justified. God justified. What do you mean God justified? God, I mean, well, He doesn't need to justify himself, but He does. In the book of Romans, He shows you that the gospel is a just thing to do. If He would have given you salvation for free, He didn't. You couldn't pay for it. So who would have given you anything? He should have looked for you. His transaction was a just transaction. You couldn't look at God and say, that's not fair. It was just. It satisfied law. It satisfied that that Jesus Christ was a perfect propitiation. It appeased the wrath of God. It was a very just action. So some, if you read the book of Romans, it's something else. Why? You cannot read the book of Romans and not see every possible Christian theology you could ever possibly think of. It's just completely wrapped up in that book. They say to master the book of Romans, you have needed to master all the other books of the Bible. And even then, from time to time, you realize there's something else. I think Randy put it best. From time Randy Amos, late brother Randy Amos, he was invited to hear Brother David Goody preaching the Romans. And Randy said, it's pretty good. It was the book of Ezekiel or something like that. I maybe go over Anyway, you know, Larry and Henry started eating these guys, these kept pissing them, and he ended up going anyway. He came back and said, I didn't know. Didn't know what it was. That's how deep the book of Romans can be. And we're to embark on a journey in the book of Romans, and I have to challenge every person in this system. You want a piece of this. You want a piece. There is something for everybody. I love my life this morning as we were coming in. You said the thing about the book of Romans is just as exciting to a new believer as it is to somebody who's very mature in the faith. You cannot look at the book of Romans if there's something for every single in that particular book. And when you start off with repentance, the book of Romans is very, I mean, it's a very talking about pain, Christ. Talking about all the things that happened that's in you guys. The transaction that happened is deeper. Just one topic in the book of Romans, the topic of imputation. That's as nuts as saying, you know, I'm in biomedical engineering. Imagine a machine, a miraculous machine that was invented. When you put your hand on the machine, all your thoughts are stored in the body. And then you put my hand on the machine, and all my good cells are stored in the body. And then your cancers are all grown to me, and my good cells are grown to you, and you can never sleep. With your cancers, you got my good cells, and you are good. That's what happened. In that transaction, that very moment you believe, you live with Jesus. That's just and I'll read the oldest thing with incubation. Because it's the only way I understand things. I'm not the sharpest one. But you bring this topic much more than that. Repentance is something that we need to understand. Our sorry is a good thing, but our sorry is the biblical way to resolve conflicts. First between you and God, there is repentance, and forgiveness, and conflict with one another. Strive to approach the person you offended with a heart to make things right. I'm sorry. Brother, what can I do? Who will make this right? Well, you offended me, maybe you can tell me you didn't do it. And then in front of everybody you did it, in front of everybody you wouldn't. See, now I'm making it right, I'm making it wrong around. God gives us the ability to do those things. And repentance is so incredibly important. I got to tell you that in the many, many years that Lisa and I have been repentance is one of the most misunderstood things. They don't get it. You have to really slowly but surely explain it to them that conflict resolution is more than just saying words. You have to work on it. It takes work. A good marriage takes work. Relationships in the church take work. It's not just a feeling. Listen, God gave us feelings. Feelings are fine. But feelings don't fix. They tell you when something is wrong. They tell you when something needs to be fixed. Repentance gives you the avenue. I pray that some of that makes some kind of sense to you guys. And if it doesn't, it's a book of Romans. And the time is over. Thank you so much for giving me a minute. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we look at the book of Romans. We ask you for your blessing throughout this series. Oh God, I pray that you would fill each and every speaker that's about to talk about this incredible book, Lord God, with your spirit. Help us to hide behind the cross, that Jesus is the only thing that the hearers would see. Heavenly Father, teach us the great many truths that exist within the book of Revelation. Think about repentance. Help us to understand the gospel better through what repentance really is. Help us to know what we mean when we say, Lord, I repent, forgive me for this. Help us to have better relationships with one another, to have more solid, long-lasting, concrete conflict resolution with one another as we understand and we practice the true meaning of biblical repentance. Lord, these things are not simple, but if they weren't simple, if they were simple, we wouldn't be asking for the power of your Holy Spirit and the enlightenment that we need to get these truths from your word. And so we are asking. Help us. And if there's any misunderstanding that we have, any particular issues that are existing here, we pray. Show us to repent. And we pray this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us the ability to repent before you, Lord God, in heaven. In Jesus' name.